I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and we have with us a full neighborhood today because, you know what? We've all been stuck and locked down and unable to get together, but here at Chasing Justice, we are being socially responsible. We are 9 feet apart here in the room. We are wearing double masks. Two of us have ventilators on already just in case we need them, and we are trying to be socially responsible. Now, when I say that, I say, first of all, we do respect the fact that there are, the virus is real, and people could get sick, people could die from the virus, but we cannot allow the virus to control our lives. It's controlled our lives for months. It's destroyed our economy. It has hurt people's jobs. We cannot continue with it. If you're elderly and you're having a problem, we have to protect you. You should stay home. If you're young and you have underlying health conditions, stay home. But the rest of us have got to be able to get out into the world and become who we are, America. So we have a lot of people in the neighborhood today. We have our rescue dogs with us today. We've actually brought some adult beverages with us today because we're trying to do a get-together. Like I said, though, socially distanced properly with lots of masks. There's double masks and people are wearing veils. I mean, Maurice is wearing a veil. It's very interesting. So with us today in the neighborhood, we have guys and girls. We have Bill, the man of faith, Dallas. Bill, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Joe. I'm just a little crowded with all these people here.
Well, at 9 feet apart, if you were listening to my intro, we're not that crowded, Bill.
9 feet is not enough.
Okay, then. All right, next we have the beautiful Miss Kathy Pangaro here.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
It's good to have you here. Now, yeah. Kathy's joined me on quite a few episodes. I like having her. She's got a brilliant mind. She's very quick, and she adds a lot to the show. Mm-hmm. Now, with us also is the lovely and talented Marisa Giordano, who is a dynamo in herself, and I'm glad she's here. She was on our Christmas show last year, which, you know, was one of the most popular shows on the entire network, that Christmas show. So this year we're going to do Thanksgiving and Christmas. Marisa, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I'm glad to have you back. And with you is your, well, you're the better half, and the other half is Jim, the contrarian Giordano. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great. She's controlling my neck.
She's controlling the neck. Okay.
I'm not green.
So what Jim is referencing is, if you missed a previous episode, where we talked about in relationships, especially these modern relationships, where we're partners with our wives. We don't lord over them. Everyone has great ideas and opinions. Now, in Jim's house, he catches the fish and Marisa cooks the fish. But that's not really how it goes when you see how they actually live.
He's not actually caught a fish.
He's never actually caught a fish. So that's pretty funny.
I caught a shark.
He caught a shark.
Three sharks.
You can tell we have adult beverages here with us this evening. But we're trying to be a little more lighthearted. This is the seriousness of everything that's going on. The election is coming up. Our world is going to change. If you've been listening to us here on Chasing Justice, we've been talking about these things. We're trying to build towards this. This is a pivotal moment in our country. And really, because America determines the way the world goes, whether people like that or not, that's how it goes. If America's light is darkened, the world will go dark, and there will be evil running the planet like you've never seen before. America has to maintain its position as the leader in the world, or we're going to revert to what I call tyranny. Okay? Well, I guess a lot of people call it tyranny, don't they? I always say it's the default position of mankind to live under tyranny, and I think it really is. I think I've made that case enough in my articles and everything else. So today, we want to talk about the election, but we're trying to be a little more lighthearted about things. We're trying to have a little fun here in the afternoon at 3 o'clock.
We had to get us through because this is like a nail-biting time, right? So we just wanted to lighten it up and have a little fun and be excited about it.
So sit back, relax, get yourself an adult beverage if you can. If not, a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, a glass of water, whatever turns you on, and relax and let's get the conversation going. So one of the things we're talking about, Bill, you had brought this up before. You know, Joe Biden, people say they like him. Now, we're hearing by the polls, he's going to win. He's going to he's going to overwhelmingly win, which they also said about Hillary at this time, you know, during that election. But Joe Biden's going to win. But when I look around my neighborhoods, now I'm in New Jersey, which is a blue, blue state. I see a lot of Biden signs. I see Biden stuff here, Biden there. But when you go to other parts of the country, you don't really see that much. I also see a lot of Trump stuff here. So we don't know how it's actually going to turn out. But Joe Biden, we've seen a lot about him. Kathy, Joe Biden, does he make you feel, as a woman, does he make you feel more comfortable? You're happier that Joe Biden is a nice, stable man as opposed to Donald Trump, who's this wild, crazy playboy, loud guy. I mean, is there a difference there for you?
Yeah, well, there is. I never was the person that liked the Alan Alda type. If you know, like that Alan Alda, he's, you know, wants you to feel good.
A consummate politician?
No, just the one that like always talks to you, sweetheart, how are you feeling? I want a man's man. I have enough female friends. I don't want.
And believe me, that's exactly what she got.
Unfortunately, she didn't get that.
No, she's not married to you, Jim. She's married to me. Sorry. Don't interrupt my wife again, and I'll knock you off that stool. Go ahead, honey.
What I'm saying is when I look, I see Donald Trump as strong, and I see Joe Biden as weak. That's how I look at them as men.
Okay. Now, Marisa, we haven't heard from you since Christmas. And believe me, I get emails. Where is Marisa? Oh, my God, she was so smart. She's so beautiful. I'm glad we got you back today. How do you feel as a woman in America today looking at Donald Trump and his personality and the negatives about him and Joe Biden and the positives about him? Where do you see these two men?
Okay, so I don't really see negatives in Donald. And the reason I don't, I think, is probably because I grew up in his backyard. We come from the same place. I understand him when he speaks. I don't mind him speaking from the heart. I don't see him trying to read from a script and be very delicate in his words. He's not. He's telling you what he needs to do. And you know what? He does it. And he has done a phenomenal job. Unfortunately, we have the China flu, as he put it, and I don't take offense to that because it did come from China, and I believe it's man-made, and unfortunately, they had the opportunity to lock it down, and they did not, and who's benefiting from that? China. They are now the leading authority. They have all the money. They're thriving. They made us lock down everything. We have nobody's at work. Everybody's at home, under their tables, withering away because they're afraid to go outside. You know what? I'm behind Trump. Let's go out. Open up the states. Open up everything.
Don't just hold back, honey. Tell them. Preach. Preach, baby.
I don't mean to preach, but I'm just saying, no, I don't see anything that he says that's wrong.
And I find that interesting, and I think it is because they give us this opinion that women are so offended by Donald Trump.
Absolutely
now,
not.
We heard that tape, all right? You know, grab him by the P word. Now, you girls understand that men talk stupid stuff when they're around each other,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we married them.
They say stupid things. There's false bravado. Does that mean it's appropriate conversation? Does that mean that's appropriate things to say? It's not. Right. But I think your point that this is just a real guy. He's not a politician. He's
exactly.
He's not out there trying to just say what you want. What would you rather have? A guy that says what you want to hear to fool you or a guy that is saying the truth? And you
I
decide?
Would rather have a man that takes his salary and donates it to the good. He doesn't need it. I'd rather not have the men or women that came before who weren't wealthy, and now, lo and behold, they're multimillionaires. How did that happen? 40 years in Congress? What have you done, Joe?
Very good. Very good point, Marisa. Thank you. That's why we got you on here. This is perfect. Now, Bill, as a man of faith, now, we haven't called on you as a man of faith in a long, but you actually are. You are the conscience of the show. You know, when you can put a sentence together, it's pretty good. Now, listen, for all those who out there
that's not the intro I was expecting.
For all those who think I'm really hurting, attacking my friend here, he is my blood brother, and we know that we're teasing with each other. But the reality is, as the man of faith, and we've said that since the beginning, because you really take this faith to heart. You live it every single day. You're one of the one people I know in the world that really does that. Is there a religious component to us going forward with either Trump or Biden?
Well, they both talk about being a person of faith, but which one do you actually believe is capable of doing that? Biden can't even remember what he did yesterday, let alone where he worships. Trump is talking about it on occasion. He doesn't talk about it a lot. He doesn't brag about it, but he's like, he talks about it when he needs to.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't name specifics. It's just a matter of, I don't want to brag about it. I'm a man of faith.
Do you think, do you think he actually has a faith?
I do. I do. I don't believe that you could be the president of the United States and not be a man of faith, because it's the most powerful position in the world. And if he is a man of faith, he is going to be on his knees every day praying that he makes the right decisions, praying that he's got the right people around him, praying that the dogs don't bark.
Well, that's what I'm praying for, and I am a man of faith like you. I'm what you hear is, of course, that's why I tell everybody, we do have rescue dogs. We bring them here, and you know what? They're part of our family. So if you hear them out there and you want to get a family pet, I'm telling you, go get a rescue. Jim did it, even though he didn't want to do it. But you know what? Marisa told him to do it, and now he loves that dog. Jim, as you see all of this, when you look at this, do you see a component here, and we've talked about it, that America could really change? Do you really believe that Biden is going to win the way they're telling us? Do you see any evidence of that?
No, I told you many shows before that God's not going to let this country go down. Donald Trump is going to fix this country, and it's all based on faith. This guy, I don't think he was a real, true religious person. But I think that there's an innate spirituality to this guy that is gonna, that just came at the right time, at the right moment, to preserve this nation of freedom and liberty that's the light of liberty for the world.
Jim, I think you put that very well, because, you know, you were telling me about the BRICS over in the Vatican, which I found that to be an amazing story, and we've talked about it here on the show, but just remind everybody, how did Donald Trump's name come up at the Vatican many years ago that he was going to be the guy that was going to save America?
Yeah, so the story goes, it just came out recently, but there was a man studying medicine in Italy from the United States. He was doing a year or two there. And he became friends with somebody he called like a hermit. He went, the man, I want to say the man's name is Joe the Hermit. And Joe the Hermit would go from mass to mass, and he would travel. So if there was a church had a mass at 7 a.m. and another church at 7:30, and he would just go around. And these two became friends. They were there during a pope. So it was like they were all outside and
waiting for the pope to be anointed.
Right, the white smoke went up. Right. And that's how they came to know each other. And they'd spent these 2 years being friends. And at the end, it was a year of faith or something. And what the Catholic Church does when they have a year of a particular thing, year of faith, a year of mercy, they open these certain doors at the Vatican, and when the year is up, they close the doors. But before they close the doors, they layer it with bricks. And you can have a prayer put on a brick. And the brick goes in, and they layer all these bricks in, and then they close the doors up until the next holy year the Pope calls a year. So this Hermit Joe said, he goes, I have knowledge, I have like an impression that there's a man in the United States that's going to bring the United States back to God. And the medical student goes, really? Someone in the United States is going to bring the United States back to God? And he said, yeah. He said, it's Donald Trump. And the medical student goes, the Playboy? What? Now, this was maybe 30 years ago. It was a long time
ago. Right, this is a long time ago that this conversation took place.
So this hermit said, I bought a brick because he's going to need all of our prayers. And he bought a brick and he put Donald Trump's name on it and he put it in the Vatican wall.
And it's been there all this time.
Well, there might have been another year or something where it's been taken out at this point.
But this guy saw Donald Trump being like a savior of America.
Right. When America didn't need saving.
And you would never have thought back in the day. Now, I got to tell you, when I was younger and I saw Donald Trump and I said, you know what? I don't come from his family. I don't come from his money. I don't have that kind of background. But I didn't hold that against him. I didn't hate him because he was rich. I said, I want to be like him. I want to see what this guy is doing that I can do so that I can emulate his success, so that I can be famous, so that I can be rich, so I can do things, right? I didn't see that as a negative. I saw it as a guy who was doing something, and he did it very well. But it's interesting to see that this guy saw him as someone who's going to save America that long ago, and it was at the Vatican. I mean, right. Pretty interesting.
There's a whole documentary on that.
Is there?
There
really?
Is. Where would you find that documentary?
I wish I had my phone. I would tell you. But okay. There is.
So you can probably Google that, and we can we can see it.
You know what? Maybe the next segment we'll have it.
We'll try and see if we can get it for the next segment. So listen, we're moving through this segment quickly, and it's really great to have everybody here for that. You know, when we look at Joe Biden, and I ask that question.
You think he's a man of faith?
Who, Joe Biden?
Yeah.
No, I don't think he's a man of faith at all. I think he.
Okay.
I think
he says he is.
Well, a lot of people say they are.
He uses it as a. He uses it as a political prop.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is not using his faith as a political prop to get certain people to vote for him. It is his own personal journey that he occasionally gives us a glimpse of, his journey with Jesus Christ and what he's doing.
Yeah,
that's why I said that he doesn't make a big deal out of it.
Right. It's not a prop. But Biden and all the politicians before Trump, they use the church thing. They would show up at the church and they'd come out here and do this and they'd do that. And that was a symbol that they had faith. Right.
After Bill Clinton's foibles when he got in such big trouble.
Advocate. Remember when he... And the news media had a fit. Remember when there was that riot in Washington?
Yes.
And he went to St. John's Church.
Across the
with
street.
The Bible.
With the Bible. Can you believe that what you were hearing from the mainstream news media, the Bible was upside down? I mean, this is the kind of thing that, are you kidding me? But that's what they're telling us.
And you're right. And that's back to Kathy's point, is that these people have used their religion as a prop. Now, Joe Biden, he's going to go to church. Well, Bill Clinton, after he got in a lot of trouble, what did he do? He met with the Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Oh, boy.
And he discussed, you know, his peccadilloes and the things he did wrong. And then... He walked around with the Bible everywhere he went. Like every time what I did with Monica was wrong. And let me read something from the Bible. Thank you, Jesse. I'm seeing my way. Does anybody think that was real?
No.
But a lot of people believe this. Like the dance with Hillary on the beach. Suddenly there happened to be a camera there on a private beach as they're dancing together. I mean, people fall for this kind of nonsense and they fall for that religious stuff. Trump is not trying to tell you, hey, I'm a churchgoer, I'm going crazy. But what he's saying is that I have a faith. I have something bigger than just me. I kind of get it. And you know what? If he's brand new to it, welcome him aboard. Welcome him aboard.
Mm-hmm.
Let him get it.
Pray for him and support him.
Pray for him and support him. So listen, this has been excellent opening segment here. You know, it's fun for us to get together. And all of you out there, stand by. We'll be right back with segment two here on Chasing Justice on the America. What is it?
Outloud Network.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangara. Today we have a full neighborhood. We have Miss Kathy here, right? Kathy, how are you?
Good, thanks.
We have Bill, the man of faith, Dallas.
I am great, Joe. I hope everybody else is feeling as good as I am.
That's pretty good.
Right? That is great.
Jim, the contrarian, Giordano is here.
Nah, I don't feel good. I'm going to go home.
Shut up, everybody. And we have the lovely Marisa Giordano here. Now, Marisa, if you can look that thing up from the first segment, the whole thing about the brick in the wall, we'll try and give you the contact if we can find it. But I know it happened because Miss Kathy listens to all kinds of talk radio when it comes to Catholic and religious stuff, and she told me about it. She's very excited, so I believe every word she says.
And the neck has taken control.
The neck has taken control of the head. I am the head of this family, but the neck will turn me whatever direction it wants. And I go willingly because I really love her. So one of the things that we're seeing with this COVID, and we've took to COVID until we're blue in the neck. Here, get it? How
yeah,
I made the blue neck?
The face.
Here's the deal. They're talking about now limiting. Now, I know about the rest of the country where you are, but here in New Jersey, they're saying this is not the year to get together with your family for Thanksgiving. This is, don't spread that COVID to everyone. Does anybody here want to spread COVID and kill people? No. We've talked about my 87-year-old father-in-law, Ted. How are you? We don't want Ted to get sick. We don't want anybody to get sick. But they're telling us now Thanksgiving, maybe you should only have a very small group of people. You shouldn't get together. Is that an attack on faith, do you think, Bill? Or is that an attack on a tradition? Or is that just part of the paranoia of the whole COVID? What do you think?
It's just part of the paranoia. Getting together for the holidays is one of the things that everybody believes is necessary. And it is. It is. And especially in these times, because we're all, you know, spread so far apart and we want to get together. We want to have dinners. We want to have, and it's not about the food anymore. It's about the fellowship.
It's about the people.
Yeah.
The meeting people. With your family.
You know, it's a wonderful feeling to have your family around you.
And I'm going to guess right now, Bill, that there's a lot of people listening to us that are missing their family members, that haven't been able to go see them, either because, number one, they're scared to death over the COVID, which is real. People really are scared to death, and I'm not making fun of it. And then there's people that they're worried about getting someone infected. Maybe you have to go to work in a place where there's infection. And now, you know, what do you do? But for the holiday, we need to get together. We have to tell us we shouldn't have Thanksgiving. That's a problem.
Let me tell you, I just met my grandson, who is 9 months old, for the first time because of this COVID-19 virus. That has kept us separated. And it broke my heart to have a new grandson and not be able to even, you know, hold him or see him or just play with him. We got together for the first time a couple of weeks ago, and holding him was an amazing thing. The problem is he didn't know who I was. Because he was 9 months old. He was developing as any normal baby would, and he didn't know who I was. That broke my heart.
And Bill, what you're saying, and I think that sentiment, a lot of people in our audience are feeling the same thing. If you're out there and you know, you haven't been able to see your family, you haven't been able to see your kids, they're afraid to come and see you. It's one of those kind of things, you know. I find it really hard. Jim, are we going to cancel Thanksgiving because of this?
Absolutely not, because that's what makes America great. The traditions. And there's nothing better than the Thanksgiving, the Christmas tradition in this country. And when they try to take that away from us, which they are purposely trying to do for two reasons. Separate family. You know, the Marxist dogma is you got to destroy the family and you got to destroy Christianity. Thanksgiving and Christmas are two. They're spiritual. And they're all about family. What a perfect mechanism to destroy America is to destroy those two holidays.
And I have to add in here, when you make people so afraid to be with family, right? Mm. You made that. What you've done is you have indoctrinated them. That they're so afraid to be with family, they won't do it. That there, you can see a shift. The government, the people who are in control of this, who want this, they're seeing a shift of how much power they have. That we're all going right to slaughter, you know, right? We're just being pushed right along, and we're going in doing what we're told to do, and we're going to cancel. And I'm really sad that it caught us off guard and it happened to us. But right. I think I want to make a stand.
Nobody expected us to be here this many months right. later that Thanksgiving would be canceled. Marisa, you're from Brooklyn. Speak for all of Brooklyn now. Are you canceling Thanksgiving?
I am definitely not canceling any family functions. I have visited my son. I am immunosuppressed. And I am not afraid of COVID. If it's my time that God wants me, that's my time. No matter what I do, it's not going to change. I know where I'm going. I'm not afraid.
Now that's a great attitude, I think. But what do you say about the people that sit home and go, are you really willing to die? Like Chris Christie, who got this, and he said, listen, I didn't realize how serious it was. I was in intensive care for a week. I almost died. I really misunderstood the virus. Are you willing to, like, next Thursday die on a ventilator in a hospital because
I don't have a choice when I die. When I die, I die. And none of us are staying here. This is just temporary. We're all going. How we go is not up to us.
But I mean, if you followed the governor's lockdown and you stayed home and wore 7 masks and did everything he said, you wouldn't get that flu next week. You wouldn't get that corona. And you'd
be
alive.
I'm not sure that that's true.
Is that worth living like that?
No.
Is my question.
No, that's not living.
That's not living.
That's not living. That's living in fear. That's living with my head in the sand. That's not life. I don't believe God, no matter which God that you believe in. There's only one God. Whatever your religion, Muslim, Judaism, Catholicism, Christianity, whatever you want to call it. Is that really how God wants you to live?
Right.
I don't think so.
Right. He hasn't kept us apart in everything else that happened.
Exactly.
Now, Kathy, a couple of weeks ago, we had an event here that we were calling the Fall Festival for the Pangaros.
Mm-hmm.
And we had our children all here. We had everybody here. And it was not easy because we have a panoply of people in our family who have different concerns about the health, their health, their concerns about the virus and everything. Why did you push so hard to get everybody here? Why was that so important to you?
I pushed hard. I just felt that our family needed to have something positive. We're going to go into these months. Who knows what's coming up? And I didn't want us to have been separated for so long and then deal with another hardship. So I really pushed hard. I threw out the mom card. I threw out, I might die if you don't come.
Oh, it was tough. She threw some crap on them. Like, okay, I guess if I'm dying, or you're not going to come to my funeral, right? It was pretty tough. I mean, I even had to grab the neck and say, neck.
That's beyond the husband.
You're going a little
too
far.
But I wasn't doing that because I was trying to, I wanted to influence them because I really felt it. I really felt our family needed to have a positive time where we were not all putting on masks, running outside, who touched what door, what did we do? I mean, this is what we have been living for 7 months. Right. I just put my foot down, had a fall festival, and people wanted to come with masks on. I said, nope. People wanted to eat outside. I said, nope. You either come inside. I said, it's 2 hours with your mother. 2 hours. Do you understand? Two hours.
Now, I thought the great thing that you had said to those who were concerned about the virus, what did you say to them about catching the virus?
I said, you can't catch something I don't have to give.
Right, because we've been locking down too. We're not running around going, oh, where's COVID patients? Let me go have soup with them. No, we're not doing that. We're staying locked down too. We're all healthy here. Nobody's getting sick. Nobody's got a problem.
You're also older, and they're all young. And this is what bothers. This is what. Listen, I know that it affects a certain element, but it affects us more being older. And why are they the ones who are more concerned than we are?
They have been indoctrinated with fear for their whole lives. The worst thing I did was put my kids in the school system. Worst thing I ever did. I should have homeschooled them all. It is the worst thing because they've grown up now. The older two, not so bad. The younger two, well, anyway.
The world is telling them to be scared to death because that's the side of the left is telling them to be scared to death. And they're getting that message. One of the reasons, and this is where I'm talking about earlier, let's draw it into something else, where I was saying the reason nobody is upset and screaming and hollering about the corruption of the Biden family is because the media will not cover it.
Mm.
So a lot of people are sitting back and going, Listen, I'll tell you right now, if it was true and it wasn't a Trump smear, it would be on the news. If somebody did all that, it would be on the news. So when they hear every single day, you're going to die. There's more 89,000 cases, more cases today than ever in America. But how many people are dying? Are hospitals overwhelmed? Are people on ventilators? They can't. Are they dying? No. We're doing a lot of testing, and therefore we're finding a lot of people got it, but not a lot of people are dying. It's the panic that these young people are listening to through their media outlets, which are left. They're all these things that these kids listen to, these young people are on the left of the spectrum, telling them to be scared to death.
But they have no faith in God. They're only looking horizontally. They don't look vertically. And so because of that, we've raised them to be spiritual, not religious, right? And now they don't really have this deep-rooted faith, and they're listening to the government as their new God. The environment is their new God. Their health, right? All they're working out, all their diets, everything, their health is their new God. They have replaced God with these other things, and now those things are threatened. See? So That's why they're afraid.
Well, I got to tell you, and I appreciate all that, because a lot of you at home are probably going through the same things. You know, it's amazing that we saw with the election that Trump, when Trump came, we saw families stop talking to each other, right? Friends that have been friends forever unfriended each other on social media. They don't talk over a belief in politics. Well, it's kind of like that. There's this fear, and I'm not just talking about in our family, but I was so proud of them that they overcame that. All right? So I'm going to do a little update here. Can I do a tullet, like, Rush? I'm going to do, hey, listen. First of all, Rush Limbaugh, my guy, is suffering from that lung cancer, and he is the man, Rush Limbaugh. So we pray for Rush here at our house because, first of all, we love Rush, and he's really helped us all understand a lot about politics. But let's do a tullet, tullet for Rush because I got an update. Ready? Tullet, 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 tullet. Okay, see that? That's an homage to Rush. Marisa was given an assignment to look up this thing about Trump and the brick at the Vatican. And she actually found it here. It's called The Trump Prophecy. And she found it on Wikipedia. So if you go to Wikipedia and look up The Trump Prophecy, you can see that whole story there.
And I think they did a movie of it, too, or something.
And Liberty University's Cinematic Arts Program. So that's really interesting.
That's the university that my son and his wife went to.
Really?
Yeah.
So they could probably give us even more insight into that. But The Trump Prophecy on Wikipedia. Go look it up. Take a look at it. Who knew such a thing would be there? And if anybody's looking that up and you see Lieutenant Joe Pangaro is going to do something 9 years from now, let me know. Because first of all, I don't know I'm going to be here for 9 years, but that gives me a lot of hope. When I run for president, because who's next after Trump? I'm looking around. Who's next after Trump?
It's you, Joe. It's you, Ivanka. Joe.
It could be Joe. Well, Ivanka.
It could be Pence. You want to know something? That entire family is impressive.
They are.
You could tell parents by their children. Mm-hmm. That entire...
about a family of faith? He has Christianity, Judaism. They're beautiful. Yeah.
They're a wonderful family.
They're a fabulous family.
But I think like there's going to be not derangement syndrome. After this, you're going to have like Trump exhaustion. So you're going to have some other conservative come up. It could be Mike Pence, who is really outstanding.
Yeah.
It's going to be a battle.
He's coming to his own.
He is. It's going to be a battle. But it could be Lieutenant Joe, because that's what I've always wanted to do.
Go, Joe.
Lieutenant Joe. And who would be my, who would open up the Congress? Bill, the man of faith. Right? Who would tell me you're wrong? That would be Jim.
Contrary.
Absolutely. That's true. So he would tell me, you're not actually going to do that, are you? Are you kidding me? Is what he would say.
And he doesn't even need his aluminum foil hat. Right.
The aluminum foil hat. Now, we joke about that. It's something I want to bring up real quick because...
God, now we're going down.
Not the aluminum foil hat, Jim. What I've seen in the news recently in these attacks on everyone, and we have all heard you, everybody here at this table are friends. We spend time together. And you have been talking about QAnon for years. Now, I got to admit, you've mentioned it, you've talked about it, and we kind of, in passing, you would tell you, QAnon says this, QAnon says that. And I never really got into it, but as you started to tell me things about him, you could find that this guy was coming up with things that, how would he know that, right? The fact that the mainstream media went to the president and said, what about QAnon? What about QAnon? And they started screaming like he is the most psychotic person on the planet. But you've been talking about him for a long time. Is he a conspiracy theory? Is he a hater? Is he all these things that they say he is? What is this QAnon?
First of all, a hater. He's the last thing. And I followed him from 2017. The last thing he is a hater. Where we go one, where we go all.
Maybe she's and at a first, she.
Maybe.
Yeah. It could be a she. We don't know exactly who QAnon is.
Yeah, right. It could be a
sorry,
collection of people.
You.
That's okay. But what I notice is that at first it was amusing. I'm like, is this true? And then all of a sudden, all his predictions, or their predictions, its predictions, whatever you want, Marisa.
Her predictions.
Her predictions. Okay. They're starting to, like, have veracity to it. And I'm going back to, way back to Epstein, before Epstein, before the NXIM issue. Yes, he brings all that up. His biggest point is this. We're all in this together. God will win. We all are going to win. And that the evil in this world is going to be exposed. And frankly, after 3 years, I'm beginning to realize he could be more right.
Mm-hmm. And that so kind of philosophy is what resonates with the common person.
And that's why I'm saying that's probably why they now are on this full-fledged attack.
Absolutely.
Now, let me connect. Watch this. Watch. This is the brilliance of a host. When you talk to Malcolm out loud, no. When you connect with Malcolm out loud and Malcolm gets you, he takes your idiocy, he funnels you into a spot, and he gives you like the ability to read minds. That's why I can read the guest's minds and know what they're trying to say, especially with Bill. But with a lot of people, I can read where you're trying to go, and I can... This is what, Malcolm gives you. When you see this connection to Rush Limbaugh, who talked about the things that he talked about and how he predicted a lot of stuff, and this QAnon, they hate them both for the same reasons. They're telling the truth, and it goes against the swamp. So right now, if you ask the average person, who is QAnon? Oh, he's some freak that's, you know, hates people. He's a conspiracy guy.
He's a harbinger of hate. Never. I've read everything he said. Never said anything about hate. Never. He's all about we are all in this together. And we're one country, one people.
That's what I'm commenting on your points when you laid this out, Marisa.
And I read The Skim every morning. And I showed to my husband what they were saying about QAnon. I said, oh, Jimmy, look, QAnon made The Skim, which is an online news, supposedly. And he read everything and he found a lot of false information on it. So you have to be careful what you read about QAnon also.
Get it from the source.
What was it? Don't believe everything you read.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great idea. So what I want, the reason I'm bringing this up to our audience here on Chasing Justice.
As a superior host, go ahead.
Well, thank you, honey. I appreciate that. I'm just a humble host, but that my wife thinks I'm superior is pretty good, right?
She just moved the neck.
Yes, she just moved the neck. The reality here is that when you see the mass media attack anyone, my first reaction is they must be doing something right for them to attack
absolutely.
Them. So therefore, I'm telling you, QAnon might be a psychotic left-wing nut or a psychotic left-wing or right-wing nut. Why don't you find out for yourself? The fact that they're attacking QAnon should give you all you need to know that maybe there's something going on there. And I really don't know enough about it. I haven't looked into it enough. I've just found it interesting. But we're going to have to get back to that in a minute because we're rocking and rolling here on our special show on Chasing Justice. We'll be back in a minute with round three. And I'm look at the they all have something to say, and I got to knock them down. Go fill your cocktails up, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back in a minute with round three here on Chasing Justice.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor, old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Chasing Justice. this is our special show. Now, we're going to try and do more shows in the future because, you know, we like to come together with everybody. But every weekday at 3 p.m., Chasing Justice is here. So this is our conversation about the future. Now, Miss Kathy is bringing up topics. Miss Marisa is bringing up topics. Jim just goes along with whatever his wife tells him to go along with. Doesn't He's not independent agree. Like me. He doesn't come up with his own topics. But Kathy says, you know, let's talk about this election and why we're voting. What are we doing? Are we excited? Are we going out there? So let me lay out this premise first for everybody, and let's kind of go with that. We've talked here a little bit about, you know, how you two ladies feel about Trump and Biden as men going forward. But the whole thing, I think, the anti-Trump movement out there is that he is such a retrobate. He is such a horrible person, such a horrible human, that we cannot have him as a president. Marisa, you were just telling me about somebody you saw on social media that posted a picture of Joe Biden and said, "This is what a president looks like." And I got to tell you, I cannot point to anything as a president that Trump has done that I could say, horrifying, negative president. Now, does he say things off the cuff that we all say, all of us say, around our home? Mm-hmm. He does. Does he talk the way we talk here? Yes. I loved during the debate when Joe Biden says, he looks at the camera, because he's taught, this is what you teach, Pop. Look at the camera. When you're sitting around your kitchen table, talk. Kathy, we've been married for 37 years. Do we sit around the kitchen table and go, what are we going to do about our pocketbook issues? Do we actually do that? No.
No.
So when he was doing that, and Trump said, you know, what is with this guy with the pocketbook issues and looking at the sitting around the table? He speaks like a real person. And that is what people elected him for, that he's not this swamp politicians. Marisa, let me ask you this. If you had a problem, and you needed to speak to your politician, your congressman or your senator, federal, senator, congressman in New Jersey, and you dialed that phone, would that congressman get on the phone and talk to you about your problem?
Oh, I totally doubt it.
But if you had a big $50,000 check in your hand, you think you'd be able to talk to them?
Oh, absolutely.
So if you're going to donate a huge amount of money, they'll talk to you. But if not, you're just the little people.
Right. What do you think? You have to talk to their aide. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
And do you ever get through?
Not often, no.
Not often.
And I've tried.
You've tried. Mm-hmm. And this was something that I had brought up not too long ago. I had said, the reality is we talk about our politicians. You know, who do we love? My guy is great, but the rest of Congress is horrible. I'm telling you right now, pick up your phone and talk about a problem in your neighborhood. Unless you have a giant check in your hand, mm-hmm. you're not going to get that congressman to call you back, that senator. Marisa Giordano, I understand you called my office. What can I do to help you? You're not going to get any of that from these people. They're fake. They're phony. They're fraud. They're pretending. And people just love them.
Well, recently I did have an issue with my parents are both dementia patients. And I was looking to find out information where I can get help. And I reached out to who I thought was my parents' representative. And so, of course, what did I get? The runaround. Oh, no, that's the wrong zip code. You have to call the other person. And I was like, are you kidding me? You can't just give me the answer. Why do I have to call another person? Just tell me. It doesn't matter if I call the other person or if I'm calling you. The answer should be the same. Why do I have to get the runaround?
It's the bureaucracy.
Yes.
And I don't want that bureaucracy in my medicine. I mean, I'm sitting here going, you know, they're talking about this single-payer health system. And I'm thinking of the bureaucracy. And as you're talking to me about the politician, the last thing I want between me and my doctor is a politician.
Exactly.
Telling me when I can go, how much I can spend, what kind of procedures
I can get.
Well,
Kathy, they know better than you.
Of course
they know better than you.
Do they?
No, they don't know, and that's the problem. But my point is that if you're so disconnected from those people, like a Chuck Schumer who's out there running his mouth, these people, we have a representative form of government. So people get very upset that they say, how come you don't? No, we rent people, we hire them, we elect them into these positions to represent us. So when they give us, this is my platform, this is what I believe, this is my philosophy, we're expecting them, well, I voted for this person because I agree with a lot of what they say. They're not reflecting what we believe. We're looking at them and going, well, they're representing me, and that's pretty close to what I believe, so that I want that person to go do it. But when you can't contact them, when you don't, they don't care to talk to you, That's the game. Jim, you've mentioned that how many times that this is a game.
It's a big con job.
It's a con job. We're all caught into this.
They've conned the American people into giving up their freedoms, giving up their security, financial security, all for their own pocketbook. Look at Obamacare. What a joke. 40 years ago, 30 years ago, was healthcare such a big thing? I know the population's gotten much older, but it wasn't a big thing. I mean, I would go to the doctor, and I would never have to pay maybe $5, $10. Now it's gotten ridiculous, and I have a good medical system. It is such a joke. What they've done is they've given all the money to these big government corporations, these companies that provide health care insurance. This is Obamacare. Trump's trying to change it. You can't change it overnight. It's broken.
No. Let's look at that. Because, first of all, we talked about Amy Coney Barrett earlier. And we said her sitting on the Supreme Court is going to be a problem because she's going to take away your health care, you know, this Obamacare. And then she's going to take away your abortion.
Please take away my health care.
Well, here's the problem. Here's the problem with Obamacare is that, and a cousin of mine, you know, an outside cousin, I got lots of cousins. I'm an Italian guy. Everybody's related to everybody. I got a cousin who said to me, here's the problem. I lost my doctor. I lost my health care, and I had to go on Obamacare. Now it costs me $9,000 to $11,000 a year for that policy, and it's got a $16,000 deductible. I never get to use my health care unless I'm in a horrible train wreck or I'm dying of something. Other than that, I get nothing for my health care.
My brother, who has leukemia, CCL, he's my twin brother, he lost his health care. He went on Obamacare. It cost him $10,000 a month.
A month?
$10,000 and $16,000 deductible. He says, what good is this?
It's no good.
It cost him a fortune.
Right.
This is what we've come up with. And you have to ask the question, why? Who got the benefit? All that money that he spends and other Americans are spending for health care, where is all that going? And you have to guess. You have to guess.
Well, and you could,
but all the illegals who are coming in here who are getting a freebie.
Jim, let me look at it this way. The big thing about Obamacare was that there was 12 to 30 million people who were not covered by health care, who just didn't have it.
Right.
They show up at the hospital. They get cared for. Nobody let them die in the street, as they said. They got cared, and then nobody paid the bill. The whole idea of Obamacare was that everyone will have coverage. Well, that's true. Everyone has coverage. But the reality is you can't actually use the insurance, is what people who got stuck with Obamacare have said. You can't actually use the insurance because it's too expensive, but everyone was covered. So now they're saying you're going to take it away from 20 million people. I'm going to guess a lot of those people would beg you to take that away. Mm-hmm. Just let them go to a doctor.
Joe, I think I'm a big believer in universal health care. I think it's I think everybody should have it. But if this government is going to manage that, absolutely not. Right. It's one big bed of corruption.
So, friends, you probably hear our friend Shelby in the background. She's back there. She's the sweetest, most beautiful little dog. How old is she, Marisa?
She'll be a year next month.
She'll be a year next month. And she's sitting at the stairs of the studio, and she really wants to come down, but I think she's afraid of the stairs. So, Jim, who's heart of gold, as much as I tease Jim, he's got a heart of gold. He went upstairs to comfort her, to love her. Oh, you just shut the door so she can't come. Okay, well, that's why he's the contrarian. But you probably heard Shelby in the background, and we talk about these dogs all the time. You know, it's one of the things when I first started doing the show, you know, the producers would call me and go, Joe, we hear the dog barking in the background. Joe, we hear the dog crying in the background. I said, you know what? That is part of my life. That is what we bring these dogs into my life because I love these animals. They actually make our life better. So if that dog's going to cry in the background, that's too bad. I actually like the dog, and she's really sweet, and she's afraid to come down the stairs. So Jim did the compassionate thing. He closed the door. Right? So if you hear her up there, I'll have to go up there and do the right thing, as Lieutenant Joe always does. So listen, we're moving through this segment. Joe Biden. Kathy, let me ask you this. Joe Biden. There's a lot of talk about him being incompetent. Now, the guy's what, 87 years old?
No.
How old is he?
No. 78.
He's 78. Okay. He's 78. Do you see him as... Now, we've watched all the debates. We've watched all... Sometimes he looks really good. I admit it. He looks strong. He looks answers. Do you think he's capable of being the president of the United States with all his hiding in the basement stuff?
No, I don't think it's about him being president. It's about the Democrats being in charge again. They're going to have Kamala be the president. They're going to usher him out to pasture. You served your time. They want to protect themselves, because I think this Hunter Biden thing is really a bigger problem than what we're letting on. And that's why there's such a big push to protect themselves.
Well, I think they have to.
And so they really want him. Now, our friends who are voting for him, and they're not looking at his policies. They're looking how they feel. They're the feelers. And they're looking how they feel. And so that's why they want him, because the media has helped them think, well, has led them to believe they're going to feel better with him as president. But he's not really going to be our president.
No.
He is a placeholder, and that's why they have...
Which is interesting. Frank Luntz, who's a GOP pollster who's been on Fox News, what he brought up, and you and I actually talked about this on a previous episode, is that the undecided, which was my article on the AmericaOutloud.com platform, go look it up, who's undecided still, there's 6 to 8% of our population in our country that is undecided. Now, as of tonight, very few days until the election, there is probably a percentage that are how could you be undecided now? But they want to be convinced one more commercial is going to make a difference. What he said is that those people who are undecided, Jim, they don't care about policy. They don't care about the Constitution. They don't care about the laws.
I mean, they care about it, but that's not their first priority.
Their priority is how they feel about the guy who's president. And they feel uncomfortable with Trump, maybe. Maybe they feel good that he's strong, but they feel Joe's like a grandpa, and they feel better with him being there dealing with Russia and China. What do you think about that?
It's all image. And, you know, there's a portion of the population that is attracted to image, how you present yourself. And you want to know something? Donald Trump does present himself well.
Let's look back at Churchill. They hated the way he presented himself, and look how fabulous of man he was.
And after the war, they voted him out of office.
He did his job.
Yes, he did.
The Irish don't like him. I just want to point that out.
He was the right man at the right time, but apparently he was brutal in protecting his empire. But when it came to World War II, he was the guy that was fighting for freedom against the Nazis right up close. He was the last man standing. And he made those choices. He led his country, which was great. Awesome thing.
I would like to just mention, imagine a world where the negative influences of this world, who've been manipulating this world, and I'm talking all the wars, or the financial destitution, the slavery, imagine if all that negative influence was eliminated. How beautiful of a world it would be. And I'm telling you, Trump, that's his goal, is to get rid of that negative influence that's been around for hundreds of years.
Amen.
Kathy,
amen.
I'm going to turn to you now. It sounds to me like what you're saying, Jim, is that evil is running rampant in our planet. Now, people don't want to talk about that. Half the world is no longer religious. Half the world, you're a fool. What was the bard, the comedian? Late night guy. I can't think of his name.
Kimmel?
He came out and Barr. I can't think of his name. He comes out and he says, he's an atheist. When's he going to be represented by the court? Because, you know, these Jewish fairy tales we're all living by. Kathy, is evil real, or is it a fairy tale?
Well, I think we all know it's real. You know, we all are attacked. You're attacked. You see it when your family members, someone dies too early. You see it when you have... horrific accidents in your life, and we just know evil is there. We may not think about it all the time, but there's certain times in your life you just know that this is an evil influence. I truly believe that this is an evil influence, and I will tell you, when you have fear, when you have depression, when you have anger, when you have hatred, those are all signs of evil. That's who's winning. Now, how do you combat that evil? That's the question. How do you combat the fear, the anger, the depression? Well, you do that by trying to remain calm, looking for the joyful, looking for hope. Those are signs of the positive. Evil doesn't want us to be positive. It wants us to be negative. It wants us to hate each other. It wants us to fall apart. I love the fact that Donald Trump is out there going like this. He goes, you people can do it. You can do it. You can raise your family the way you want. If you want to go out, you go out and do this. If you want to get a job, go do that. Let's change it up. He's very positive. He's bringing this energy of positivity, and that's why he's being surrounded by all the negative left and yep. negative media.
But he's also being surrounded by a whole host. I mean, look at his... when he has the election rallies.
The rallies
are unbelievable. I mean, they are really intense. My brother, he lives in the Villages.
Yeah.
Oh, they just
waited from 12 o'clock in Florida, and they just started building up. And let me tell you something. People really believe in this guy.
Sure.
And it's not because they believe in his tweets.
Right.
Right. Or
There's
his
something
attitude.
Something about him that's bigger. True. Than we are.
Jim, he represents freedom and liberty. He is a patriot. He's a forefather with a nasty tongue. But you know what? There's no one else out there that is the forefathers. They're not there anymore. And Trump represents all of us, all of you out there at home that is a patriot. This is the last opportunity we have for a patriot. Who else is going to step onto this stage? Kathy, you have something to say. Go.
I was just going to say our forefathers said we can do it. We don't need this English government being our parents telling us what to do and how to do it. And Trump is saying you don't need government to tell you what to do. Ronald Reagan said the same thing. We can run our own lives. I'm capable of doing it. The helicopter parenting has raised a generation of people who don't think they can do anything.
The problem is people are afraid to run their own lives because if they fail, they have no one to blame.
Right.
They like having somebody to blame. Oh, the government made me do it.
And that's the cradle to grave benefit of a government that says, if you fail, we'll take care of you. We'll give you cheese blocks, and we'll make sure you have food, and you can go to college for free. And you're gonna someone has to pay for all that.
How good of a college for free?
Oh yeah.
I mean, look at how that. It used to be in my
is anything free?
College was valuable. Now it's been so watered down. What does that degree mean? Unless you get something other than a degree.
Now you got to get a master's degree or a doctorate.
No, you don't get a license. let me tell you something. It is so watered down. It's a shame. Why? Because they don't teach truisms anymore. Because unless you're the math and sciences.
No, but the whole point is in the free, nothing is free. You're paying, somebody's paying somewhere down the line.
Well, you're absolutely right. When it's free, somebody's got to write that check. Nothing's for free. Listen, this has been a great election special, an extra special from Chasing Justice. I want to thank all of you for being here. You know, the time is ticking. The days are going fast. The election is coming. The choice we're going to make is going to change your life, the life of your children, and the life of your grandchildren. Bring people to the polls, vote for how you want this country to go. It's going to happen whether we want it or not. Be on the right side of it. We've been probably really positive here tonight. Think about what you want. Lower taxes or higher taxes. Freedom or less freedom. Government in control of you or you in control of you. Those are the choices, really, that come up in this election. Remember, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. I want to thank everybody in your neighborhood. We'll talk to you on Election Day. It's going to be awesome. Make sure you're there. Vote. Do the right thing. And remember, God bless America, no matter how it comes out.